You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Tell you, I mean, like, if these guys had just read, I mean, even like the intro pages to the Dummy's Guide to Arms Dealing, they wouldn't have fucked up anywhere near this bad.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing: Lord of War was out when they were doing this shit.
Yeah,
they could have just picked up Lord of War and just been like, "What should we look out for?"
This is the mistakes that you really shouldn't make.
Yeah.
And of course, this is War Dogs is very much like another one of those rise and fall of some young guys who made a lot of money real fast and then reached for the sun.
Hey,
and got burned.
It's
like
the Martin Scorsese formula.
It sounds like VH1 behind the music.
Yeah, I mean, like certainly it's like very influenced to the point of just blatantly stealing from both Wolf of Wall Street recently and even The Big Short to some extent,
yeah,
because
yeah.
It wants to wear on its sleeve a bit of like, this is educational. We're telling you about like really bad shit that's going on behind the scenes.
And a little bit of Pain and Gain with the comedic elements.
Yeah.
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 To be there.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, which is fine. I mean, if you can steal and borrow as much as you want, but as long as you make it entertaining. Mm-hmm. I mean, Quentin Tarantino's been doing it for the past, well,
thank
almost
you.
30 years.
Well,
thank you.
No, I'm not criticizing him. He's great at it.
He pretty much is a collage creator.
Sure.
Yeah, he's the DJ Shadow of, like, crime movies.
but the problem with this movie is that it kind of fails to be that. At
see,
least
I
me.
Disagree.
Well, I mean,
I see what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with you, mm-hmm. and yet they still manage to make a satisfyingly entertaining film, I think.
It's sort of like the diet Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, totally.
It's not quite full calorie, but you know what? This is going to get me to the next one.
This is Wolf of Wall Street you can watch with your parents.
Exactly. There's not boobs everywhere. Yeah. There's a little bit of drug use, but they don't really go into that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more, it's bigger audience friendly.
Oh, okay.
In many ways. Even down to the soundtrack, which makes such on the nose choices for the songs that are in it.
Which incidentally, whoever like pick the soundtrack listing for Suicide Squad could learn a lot from this movie.
Still, yeah. The story here follows Miles Teller, who lives in Miami. He plays David Pakos. This is a real story, by the way.
He plays Whiplash. Yeah.
And he is a massage therapist, he said in quotation marks.
He's jacking guys off.
Everybody says he's jacking off people, but like, yeah, he's a massage therapist in Miami.
He doesn't deny it that
he doesn't
hard.
He doesn't deny it.
That's the thing. He just goes, come on.
And yeah. I bet you get a really big tip for doing that. And that's the one thing. It's like,
depending on how big the guy's dick is.
Oh, sure. That's the thing. He gets paid like $75 an hour to do that. It's like, I'm in the wrong business. I should be doing that.
That was kind of one of my things. I was like, what are you complaining about?
Yeah, you make
$75 an hour plus.
Just all the
blowjobs and handjobs you're given, which, you know.
I guess if that's something that you're okay with, then by all means, Chris Herman, you're in the wrong.
I think I am. I need to make some money.
I mean, I'm not saying there's anything morally wrong with it. I'm just saying, I don't think it'd be my thing.
It's no worse than selling guns.
No, it's not.
Because here's the thing. The only shots you're going to be getting are, I should stop.
Yeah, then you really should.
I'm fairly opposed to like assault rifles and things like that. But, I mean, given the opportunity to do what these guys did, I'd have done it.
Well, that's the thing is that he meets up with Jonah Hill, was his old friend from school who used to get him in trouble. His parents were like, you can't see that kid anymore.
For good reason.
Yeah, I got the feeling they even, like, moved because of it or something. Yeah. But he shows back. He's Ephraim Divaroli. He shows up, and he's all, like, Miami Vice'd out. You know, he's got the whole, like, he's real tan. He's got the crazy laugh.
Before we go on, can we all do the laugh together? Just for the listener. Just one. Hold on. One, two, three. There you go, listeners.
And he convinces him, look, man, that shit's not going to work out. You get a girlfriend, you just got her pregnant. By the way, like, once again,
hot girl.
Oh my God.
Like, so hot, it's distracting.
No, mm-hmm. Ana de Armas, who's Cuban Spanish actress.
I've seen
a couple things already with her. Like, she was in this terrible movie called Exposed with Keanu Reeves. But she's like, you watch it like, God damn, who is that? Yeah, the movie sucks, but she's amazing.
I haven't seen Knock Knock, but she's one of the girls
on
Knock Knock.
She's one of the girls on that, too. See Knock Knock. Yeah.
So we gotta, we have to think
I've heard it's terrible.
It's one of those actresses, you're like, God, she's just, like glowingly beautiful.
She is, yeah.
We have to thank Obama for lowering the embargo.
And you have to go, how in the fuck did Miles Teller, who's like a massage therapist in Miami, who's not even that good looking, end up with her? No. That's the biggest thing you got to do.
Because he makes $75 an hour.
$75 an hour?
You told me yourself, sir, that sometimes, if even if you know you're punching out of your weight class, just trying will sometimes work. And Miles Teller, the character he's playing, is pretty charming.
Yeah, but that's
and
like
he's
trying,
a big guy.
There's punching out of your weight class and trying to box with God. Okay?
Why does God need a starship?
I don't know. But so anyway, Jonah Hill convinces Miles. It's like, look, I have this deal. I'm not like an arms dealer, sorta. I'm the guy who like facilitates the small deals because apparently, and I don't remember the exact details, but the government basically had to because of new laws set up a sort of eBay of buying arms for themselves that allowed small businesses to get involved in the process.
Yeah.
Now, most of the deals on there are done by big, you know, arms merchants, but there's all sorts of little deals where you're like, yeah, I can make 50,000 there, 100,000 there off these things. And he's like, that's what I do. I get those deals and I make those deals and I sell them to the government. Come with me and, you know,
we'll never be hungry
again. We'll make a lot of money together, which admittedly sounds like a pretty tempting deal, even for this guy who is like, you know, a guy who's actually a liberal who actually shows up to marches. You know,
that's rare
against the war.
It's like I watched the Daily Show during the Iraq War. I didn't go to marches.
Yeah, that was. I'm sitting on my couch. I feel like I got my flank covered.
Thank you, John Stewart.
Oh, by the way, they like to smoke pot in this movie because they probably show that. I don't know.
Yeah, they smoke pot as much in this movie as they did coke in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, they do a fair amount of coke in this as well.
A little bit.
Not off Hooker's ass.
Yeah. No, it wasn't as cool as that. But they end up getting into this and get a big, dangerous deal that they manage to get through the skin of their
teeth. It's that one step that you shouldn't go.
Well, they do that step that you say that, but then they do it. They nail it.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow. And they're like, now we're in it and we got real capital to work with. And then you get to the crux, you know, where it's like, here's a deal that's way too big for us. But we think we figured out a way to do it, namely through Bradley Cooper, who comes in playing a very different character than we've ever seen him play
before.
Very good
performance.
Very good performance. This like guy who's on a terrorist watch list for something we're not entirely sure what, but himself a huge level arms dealer, has been involved in some big famous deals. The kind of guy who arms both sides of a war.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can help you do this, which makes Miles Teller nervous and Jonah Hill like, whatever, dude, it's money.
Yeah.
And this, of course, is that crux where you know as a film goer, okay, this is the one they're going to fuck up.
Yeah. I would have loved if they went off, like what I really wanted, and I know this is not whatever happened. I want one of these movies where it feels, or you can see it going down a bad path. And then I want them to just change the ending to everything's just sunshine and rainbows.
Turned out fine.
And it would just be hilarious because everybody would be like, I thought I was supposed to learn
Isn't
something.
Isn't that pretty much The Big Short? You think about it where it's like, yeah, that the only guy who got in trouble was the one guy who never even appeared on screen.
That's true. Well, you know, in the 2009 economy crash.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but they didn't care.
Nobody cared.
I made mine.
Yeah.
Not me, obviously, because I do podcasts for a living.
Well, actually, you know, you said one thing that I feel like this movie, even though it's trying to be Big Short and it's trying to be Wolf of Wall Street, I don't think it quite hit one of the scenes that is in both of those movies, where there's a scene in The Big Short where the two guys are joking about how bad things are going to be, and Brad Pitt's character goes, this is real money. Like, this is real people's lives. And this movie, it borders on trying to teach you that lesson. But it always pulls back from it because I think it makes the choice to try to keep it lighthearted as possible.
I agree with you.
Well, I mean, at the same time, they even kind of say themselves, the closest they come to any kind of combat or seeing the consequences of their actions is when they sort of got their big start going through Fallujah. But
yeah,
I mean, they were never really, there was never really anything to put them in danger or anything like that other than when they fucked up.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I feel like one of the things that makes this a lesser film to those other two films is that both those films not only were giving you like information about like, this is something that was pretty complex that really was going on that maybe you should need to know about, but the way the system around you works and the people who made a lot of money and then fucked it up, but lots of like real educational stuff in there, right? But that was countered with moments of actually explaining why this is so wrong.
Exactly.
What happened morally to these people? How did they get this corrupted? This never really goes there. A like, realization that happens has more to do with just straightforward fear and being pissed off than it has to do with anything to do with, like, oh, well, I guess that was wrong.
If they'd have just done good principal business, they'd have been fine.
Barely legal business instead of just over.
It's not illegal.
Yeah. Well, it's like you sort of come out of this movie, honestly, you sort of come out of it thinking, well, he only went to jail for 4 years, and he had house arrest for 7 months, and they made at least, Miles Teller's character made at least $9 million.
Let's not get too spoilery here.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you come out thinking, this isn't that bad.
Like I said in the beginning, this feels like these two guys who took on a job, they understood completely how it worked, and then didn't actually read the dummy's guide with the list of don'ts that should have been blindingly obvious to anyone that would, like, then what are you doing? That's obviously a completely stupid move.
Yeah, like, it's like you gotta, if you're in the middle of a deal, which is illegal, it may not be legal, but it's not illegal, it's just not legal.
Yeah.
And you got somebody who can kill you. If he's shaving stuff off the top, just be happy he does not alter the deal further. Just be like, okay. Yeah.
Pray I do not alter the deal.
I'm not getting screwed completely.
If you're already making a great deal, and you're dealing with shady people, and you're dealing with people who easily could have the power to ruin everything, they're not people you fuck over. Period. Yeah, end of story. How stupid are you?
Yeah.
You know, it's frustrating watching this movie probably for that reason more than anything else in the third act. Although I will say, I'm curious now to know what actually happened, to read the real story, see how much is exaggerated for the film or done here.
Is his girlfriend that hot?
this director, Todd Phillips, who's pretty much largely known, if not only known, for party movies.
Really?
You know, he did the Hangover films.
What?
For instance.
That's how you got Bradley Cooper.
he did Road Trip.
What?
Frat House. Old School.
You're my boy, Blue?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Okay, so this is the type of thing that we're talking about right here. I don't know. I think the only reason he was picked for this was because they looked at the guy who did The Big Short. It was like, oh, wow, this guy knew nothing about this type of filmmaker. He's obviously just a goofy comedy director.
Yeah.
Look at what he did.
Exactly.
But this guy put in, like, years of research into working on this script and making sure he got it just right. This feels like almost certainly a kind of, they just threw this at this guy.
It feels like somebody read the Cliff Notes
and
said, okay, it feels like a one-to-one transfer. It's like, we need this scene, we need this montage, we need this cinematography. Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. Even saying all that, I gotta salute when a copy's done well.
Yeah. It was
entertaining.
It's kind of one of the things where this one excels and kind of Old School, or The Big Short, failed. And that The Big Short had such a great cast, it's almost as if Adam McKay maybe didn't need to put as much into the execution of what he was doing. And this one, Miles Teller and Jonah Hill aren't huge stars, and you know you really have to shoot it better. You got to make it look better. You got to make it sound better. And I think that's kind of where it excels over The Big Short.
I can't go with you there. I still think Big Short's better in pretty much every way, but that's my opinion.
But here's the thing: that's pushing against God.
It's what you're what you were saying. It's like, this movie is the first Michael Keaton clone.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. You know, he's not as good as the original. He's has some really obvious flaws, but overall, he's so close as you've got to be really familiar with the first Michael Keaton to know that the second one is a clone.
What the hell are you talking about?
Multiplicity.
I've never seen that.
Young people.
It's not a good movie.
I wasn't born in that decade. I'm sorry.
Okay, I got one.
He's like babies.
He's like the first Arnold Schwarzenegger clone in The Sixth Day.
No, that's even more obscure.
Okay.
I've seen parts of that film. Take your word for
it. Multiplicity, it's great.
Okay. I'll see that. I'd rather have seen that than this movie.
I mean, I guess it's like, I'm entertained. I'm having fun with this, but I'm always hyper aware during this that this is a lesser product than several other films that it's borrowing heavy / stealing from.
Yeah, and you know, in the actors are even borrowing from their former roles.
Yeah.
It's like Jonah Hill is playing a combination of his characters from Wolf of Wall Street, Moneyball, and a few, and maybe even Superbad at a certain point.
Then
Miles Teller is just straight up Miles Teller and That Awkward Moment and Whiplash.
It's pretty much
yeah. And a little bit of Divergent. He's playing a little bit of that Jackass
and,
character, too.
And I'll say Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But
I have erased him from that movie because he's too good of an actor.
But I'm reading here, what would you guys say if the original stars were going to be in this, who were planned to be, which were Jesse Eisenberg and Shia LaBeouf?
Oh, good Lord.
No.
I mean, I would have loved to have seen Michael Cera in some of these situations. Like, he would have played the Miles Teller character.
Jesse Eisenberg.
I like how you made that mistake. Yeah. I like how you made that mistake and you didn't even see that.
Miles Teller is kind of like Shia LaBeouf 2.0 that, like, that's not going to...
He's the better version.
He's the improved version.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got all the bugs out.
He's the version. It's like, I will let you pay me and make me an action star. I'm not going to insult you 2 months later.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it was... Crystal Skull, so it's like you never go after the director like that, but
it's like Steven Spielberg. He will get you back on the back end. He'll get you something that's great.
Oh sure, yeah. It's our job to talk shit about that movie. Yeah. Not your show.
It's like what's his name? I can't believe I just said this. What's his name? Brad Pitt when he was just saying on I think he was on Letterman or Jay Leno back in the day, just dogging Meet Joe Black.
Huh.
And he said, you can't do that.
Yep.
You have to actually promote the movie. There's a thing called a contract.
Yep.
And it's like, it took him a second to recover from that.
It looks classless. You need at least, I think there should be like a 5-year rule.
Yeah.
You're like, after 5 years have gone by, at that point, it's made all the money it's really going to make.
And nobody
at that
cares.
Point, and nobody cares. Then you can turn around and go, yeah, that movie was a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Then you could be like Joel Schumacher and just say, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
When you do that, you insult people who like that
movie.
One thing
I noticed in this was that I had never noticed before, really, there's a lot of extreme close-ups of characters in this one.
Yeah.
I never noticed how scarred up Miles Teller's face
is. I was going to bring that up. I just looked it up.
He was in a really bad near-fatal car accident in 2007, apparently, and that's where all that came from. Well, he's got scars all over his face and neck.
But it's left side of his face.
Yeah.
But it helps his performances, because he's supposed to play...
He's wounded.
He's supposed to play this character that, like, you feel like...
You're going to die.
Not die, but he's been in a few scrapes. And so you're like, yeah, I sort of like the scars. I was like, yeah, that goes with your character. Same thing in Whiplash, where it's like, this is this guy who's giving of himself, who's tearing himself in half to be the best drummer. It's like, yeah, some of that knocking around actually helps.
I have trouble feeling bad for him about anything, though, when I know he's already had sex with Ana de Armas. I'm like, dude, you've topped out on your life. That's your real? That's your plateau.
Like, right in the character or...
The character, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's actually had sex with Ana.
Okay.
Just saying. Yeah.
Even if it was pretend, that's all. That's,
yeah,
even
yeah, pretend.
Like,
yeah.
I get to interact
that's
with
it.
You, like,
how many over. Months?
I mean, he's not Will Smith.
No. JC, go ahead into final thoughts.
I wasn't expecting a ton out of this. It's really entertaining for what it is, sort of the late summer. Suicide Squad has sort of ended the summer. Now we're sort of in that in-between summer and fall period. Movies at this time, they're never quite as hit or miss as they are in, like, January and February, but, I mean, they can still be kind of hit or miss. A lot of things in this worked. I thought the two guys played really well off of each other. They're pretty funny. I always get a kick. Bradley Cooper, we mentioned him. He's not in it for very much. And I always get a kick when a really talented actor just fucking nails a role in a really small part. Like,
you mean like Matt Damon in Eurotrip?
No, Elliot, no, not like that.
But I know.
I'm thinking more like Colin Farrell and Crazy Heart.
I looked for every opportunity to bring that up.
So yeah. I'm thinking more like Colin Farrell and Crazy Heart.
It's
like
a smaller
like,
part, but they add so much to the movie by their performance.
Yeah, big in the movie.
Yeah, and like I wouldn't even be surprised if like that character is sort of the one embellished thing, like that character never really existed sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, overall, really solid movie. It's sort of that middle of the road one that I'll probably revisit a few times down the road. So because of that, it gets high marks for me. Probably give it 7 out of 10 AK-47 rounds.
Elliot.
Sorry, I have Scotty Doesn't Know stuck in my head right now. Kids, if you haven't seen Eurotrip, thank me later. Go watch it.
Do that to yourself.
Oh, I love that song. And it has Kristen Kirk in that movie, so 10s all around. This movie, I tell you, I really, just the last few years, have become a huge fan of Jonah Hill and Miles Teller. So, them alone, it was, like, I had to choose between, for the screenings this week, I didn't have enough time to see both, Kubo and the Two Strings, and I love animated movies. And this, and I think I made the right choice. It's not a perfect movie.
No, I don't know.
You chose poorly, yeah, my son.
You missed out on Kubo and the Two Strings.
I'm saying, like, even then, I still enjoyed this enough to where I don't know what I'm missing until I see it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not walking out of the theater like, God damn it, what did I do? But, you know, just watching them work off each other, yeah. I want to see more movies with them.
They were a good team.
It just reaffirms, like, it's so nice to see really famous actors who are really good. And, like, there are sometimes you don't see that. We go through periods where people are being promoted who aren't the best actors. And they're not even the best. They're not the best at comedy. They're not the best at carrying a scene. But they're just sort of there. And Jude Law is in, like, 10 movies one year. And you're like, well, shit, I'm sort of tired of Jude Law. So, like, it's sort of nice to see them. But this movie, I love some of the cinematography in this. Like, they have some great shots. There's a shot where Jonah Hill is doing something something as mundane as making copies. And it's really shot great. It's framed really nice. So, for all those reasons, the soundtrack got in my way a little bit sometimes. Because I felt like it was too on the nose. And then, one thing I wanted to mention. They have this sort of too cute by half way of setting the scene. Literally for parts of the movie where they give you these quotes. And so you're waiting the entire part of that scene for that quote to come up. So it feels like an outline. It feels like somebody was writing a script and said, well, I need this to be here. So I'm going to say, this is the scene, and I'm going to write the scene. And I feel like it just stayed in the draft. And then the director got in and said, yeah, let's do that. Cause that's going to be sort of different. So it just sort of disjointed for me. But so for all those reasons, the good and the bad, and the Miles Teller, I got to give it a 7 AK-47 bullets out of 10 that are repackaged.
The good, the bad, and the Miles Teller.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I go? Yeah. I'll go. It's a serviceable movie.
It's a Volvo
of movies.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just for me. It again, even though it was aping from all of these other films, whether it be Scorsese or what have you, it didn't do it well enough for me. I was bored throughout most of it. Mm-hmm. I thought that, again, like everyone is saying, that Jonah Hill was playing like a really more subdued version of himself from Wolf of Wall Street or, you know, several of his other even more comedic roles. I thought Miles Teller, again, was okay, not really stretching all that much. I think that this movie seriously needs to be edited down. Mm-hmm. I felt like, what's the running time on this? Like, it's over 2 hours?
No, it's 114 minutes.
Well, it can go a little bit. You can shave off 20, 25 minutes off this
but
film.
But yeah, that's still an editing problem if it's only 114 minutes and it feels so long.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was 2.5 hours.
Yeah. I think the original cut of this was 2.5 hours, actually.
It feels like a 2.5 hour movie.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, really the only highlight of the movie, as everyone else has said, is Bradley Cooper as that arms dealer character. I thought he was great. And he always looked so sleepy, though, in every scene. His eyes were so bloodshot. I'm like, oh.
Well, he just came from the hangover.
Sleepy, sleepy Bradley Cooper. No! Because he's a hangover. I get it, Elliot.
Sorry.
I'll laugh at
that
you.
Was good.
That was good. No, that was very clever.
You didn't get enough
like,
immediate credit no. for that one. That was pretty good.
But yeah, I kind of left feeling like, oh, okay, that was a film. I'm probably never going to remember it again. So I'd probably give it 6 out of 10 $75 blowjobs.
I mean, like, I think we're all more or less on the same page on this one. I mean, at its worst, this thing is really formulaic. I mean, even to the point of, like, just a really poorly conceived of narration track where they constantly do this thing where they're showing you something happen and then all the narration track doing is saying what just happened.
It's very exposition.
Yeah. And you're like, we just saw that happen. You didn't need to have the guy come in and say it. Mm-hmm. I mean, was this like, is that for the sight impaired?
Yeah.
I don't know.
For the mouth breathers.
Yeah. It's like, how do I turn this subtitle track off?
Oh, one interesting thing Courtney pointed out to me that I didn't notice is that even though obviously he's got Jonah Hill has a huge picture from Scarface in his office, his wallpaper is actually the exact same wallpaper in Scarface's office as well.
Yeah. Oh,
cool. I didn't know that because I haven't watched Scarface in a while because it's a terrible fucking movie.
Thank you. I'm one of the people that hates Scarface. That's why
it's
I knew that.
It's a terrible movie.
It's I would say it's obnoxious, but I don't think it's terrible.
Here's the thing.
It's just really obnoxious movie.
I don't so much hate Scarface as I hate its fans. Because like, they make a movie that is just nothing into
Scarface. It's true.
I'll agree to that. I think it's a fun film.
A best mediocre film.
Yeah. And it's like, oh man, man, you just think you're a gangster. How about you sit the fuck down?
But that, you know, it's appropriate how much that film is referenced in here by specifically by Jonah Hill, who really think he's like a, he is a Scarface fan. He thinks he's so much more awesome than he is. Mm-hmm. He totally fetishizes weapons, you know.
He has gold AK-47
He's willing to fuck over absolutely anyone at any time to get what he wants because he feels like he's justified in doing it. You know, he's a complete douchebag, just like Scarface is. Just not even half as competent as Scarface is. Just lucky is his thing.
Lucky that Miles Teller does not know to make a copy of a contract.
Yeah. I think this is, like I said, it's entertaining to watch, but if you're like, if you don't already really like films of this type, The Rise and Fall, then this is not going to be for you at all, because it's not one of the best ones by any stretch of the imagination.
There's so many more.
But it's also, like I said, it's not bad. It's like most of Todd Phillips' films. Yeah. They're serviceable. They're okay. The Hangover is not the best of the, like, R-rated party films by any, by any imagining, but it's entertaining enough. You know,
yeah.
Not so much the sequels, mind you, but the first one.
See, now that I think about it, I do kind of get a lot of mileage out of like Road Trip and Old School. And,
yeah. Oh, Road Trip and Old School, I still say were better than The Hangover. I'm not sure why people feel the other way. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, you said it's serviceable, but I think I enjoyed it a little bit more than you did. And that has a lot to do with really strong performances from the two leads. And as well with every time Bradley Cooper shows up in this thing, which isn't often, but you're like, wow, I kind of want to find follow that guy.
Yeah, I just want to see his film with him. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, has a great moment at the end of the film that's the perfect little sort of like coffin nail on any possible we taught you a moral lesson by watching the film. I give it 7 out of 10 times that I wondered about Bradley Cooper's backstory.
You want to hear a funny story?
I suppose so,
just to end this off?
Yeah, go ahead.
On the set of Wolf of Wall Street, apparently, you remember the scene where DiCaprio's character is eating sushi as he talks to Jonah Hill's character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently Jonah Hill, for accuracy of the scene, was making him eat the piece of sushi every time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were under hot lights that entire time.
Oh no.
So like apparently towards the end of the day, DiCaprio between takes was just in just throwing up into the garbage can between takes. And it's like, oh, your commitment to trolling and acting at the same time, Jonah Hill.
Imagine if he had been the Joker.
You know, I was just thinking
it would have been better than Jared Leto's.
Actually, Jonah Hill actually could make an interesting joke.
He'd be great.
Oh, God.